Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Louise Trahern, Executive Director at Legis Finance. Louise has over 13 years of experience in litigation and litigation finance, having assisted in the development of the litigation funding arm of Orchard Global Asset Management, as well as co-founding UK-based litigation funder Benchwalk Advisors in 2017. Louise, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, and thank you for having me here today.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. I want to start with client relationships. I know Legis has a very bespoke, tailored approach to managing your client. Can you go into this a bit more for us? How does Legis differentiate itself from the competition with respect to client relationships?
Great question. Well, the Legis approach starts with empathy, both for the law firm and a client. We ask the question, what are the law firm concerns? What are the client concerns? What is it they're trying to achieve? Do they need insurance? Do they need funding? Do they need some clever structuring to resolve a problem? Perhaps their existing banking credit lines would be better used to provide capital with recourse to a Legis insurance policy. Or perhaps they just need some straightforward advice that their case is simply not fundable. Or maybe it could be fundable if certain aspects were changed. Perhaps they just need to be signposted to another capital provider. Or perhaps they just need some straightforward advice about who to speak to if we're not going to be able to help them. With experience and expertise in knowing the global market and the interests of the various participants, we generally offer a holding approach with a view to a long-term relationship and repeat custom, and that seems to be working out pretty well for us. One thing I'd say is that the days of a parasitic funder handing over term to an impecunious client who has no other option, I'd say they're gone. Clients and law firms now enjoy a symbiotic relationship with funders, where the clients and the law firms have freedom of open competition, and the litigation finance markets are now more the playgrounds of the well-funded client who appreciates the benefits of monetization of their litigation assets, as well as those original clients who were seeking justice but really had no other choice. It's a fact to say that there is more fresh capital entering this sector, and that's been the topic of other podcasts, but my criticism would be that generally the offering is pretty similar. It's pretty much the same standard product. These are our terms, take it or leave it. The Legis approach is much more start with the client, see what the problem is, and build something around them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially as clients get more sophisticated, as the industry matures. I think that's definitely the right approach. You know, one of the criticisms of the funding community has been a lack of transparency in pricing. When it comes to pricing, a lack of consistency as well. So tell me, how does Legis approach the issue of pricing transparency and consistency?
Well, that's absolutely right. And one of the reasons I joined Legis at the beginning was to correct some of the criticisms that have been leveled at funders out there and to be in a place where we could improve the general market, improve the reputation, as it were. So at Legis, we share with the client, the law firm, and the funder all of the returns. So client, law firm, funder, returns are listed. It's very, very transparent. Every party can see what's going on. And if they don't like the model scenarios that we're giving them, if they think, well, actually, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that particular scenario, then we can adjust it. Pivot is a word that is frequently used in our office. We will constantly amend, adapt, make changes here and there to try and get everybody comfortable. I mean, we generally want the litigation finance industry to be something that everyone is keen to use. We're also keen to promote standard documentation for DBAs and funding agreements in general. And we're following some of the lessons learned in the world of the Loan Market Association or the ISDA Swaps Derivatives Association, where standard documentation became a big part of the increased transparency. So we anticipate additional listings of funders, and with it, more transparency, and perhaps some further consolidation. There are now 5 listed funders, and therefore more information available to the public. That allows the market to gain a better understanding of what realistic returns the funder might expect for its investment, and that could be either in a single case or a portfolio scenario. The debate over how litigation assets are valued continues, but greater scrutiny methods employed by those listed funders is helping the market become more proficient at the valuation of those assets.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned DBAs. So I want to dig into that for just a moment. In the US, you know, contingency fees have long been used by lawyers to share risk with their clients. Now, since its inception, Legis has been campaigning for greater clarity for lawyers to enable the wider use of DBAs. Could you explain the benefits of DBAs as opposed to conditional fee arrangements and the billable hour model? What specifically is Legis, also what, can you tell us what Legis has specifically been doing to press for this transition to DBAs?
Absolutely, yes. And I'll start with the second part of that because I'm very proud of what we've done. When we started out, we consulted with Sir Rupert Jackson. We formed a working group for those interested in DBAs. The idea behind it was really to get a whole lot of litigators in one room to discuss the possibility of a standard form damages-based agreement. I, having a history background of being a litigator, thought this was fairly ambitious. Litigators tend to prefer to be distanced, but actually we were really delighted. We got a whole group of litigators together, and as well as looking at the more broad picture of a standard form document, we had a more urgent task, which was to work together to provide some feedback to Rachel Mulheron and her team, who were looking at amending the DBA regulations. So in a very short time, we consolidated views and inputted to her. She was very grateful. We also worked with Nick Bacon, QC, and discussed at government level with Lord Keane and his team how we thought the DBA agenda should be promoted. However, it was pretty clear that test cases would be by far the fastest means of establishing a precedent for hybrid DBAs, and that was an area where people had some concerns. If you terminate your DBA, can you still be paid fees? Well, the judiciary were very well prepared to answer this. They had the opportunity to do so in the recent case of Lex Law and Zuberi, which I'm sure many of your audience are already very familiar with. It's been covered widely. At Legis, we see many efficiencies for law firms using DBAs rather than CFAs. An escape from the billable hour, as we mentioned, but more, a far better alignment of interests, where law firms effectively become the funder, sharing the return with the client in an open and transparent manner, and then using the likes of Legis or others to provide the risk mitigation on those investments. I always thought, as a litigator, sitting for hours and hours in long meetings on a Sunday, there was absolutely no incentive to end that meeting because we were all being paid full rates. So had we been operating on a DBA at that point, we would have had a much better incentive to get the results as quickly as possible rather than string out a very long meeting.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And music to a lot of claimants' ears, I'm sure. Let's flip over to the insurance side for just a moment. So AT insurance has obviously been very prominent for a long time in cost-shifting jurisdictions like the UK and others. There's now a suite of insurance products available that cover the other side's costs. Can you go into this more for us? What are some of those insurance products that are available to claimants right now?
Sure, no problem. Well, again, insurance has always been a big part of Legis. The potential as using the insurance market to provide risk mitigation in litigation was sort of the brainchild of the founder, Tim Scranton, when it was set up. So again, the word pivot comes to mind. There have been various insurance products that we've used effectively for clients, but we've also listened to clients about what they want and liaised with the insurers to get them what they want. So as an example, you can get cover for the downside of a DBA loss if you're a law firm. So maybe you're a bit scared of doing a DBA, you're going to work for 5 years and get all the money at the end, but you're a bit worried about what happens if you lose at that point. Well, we can cover 80% of your fees, which is valuable in itself. There's insurance to cover funder's principal. There's insurance to cover the risk of a sovereign defaulting on an arbitral award. There are various products to make litigation finance more efficient, such as the Leaders Insured Working Capital Facility, providing working capital to law firms, whether that be monthly, quarterly, annually, and alongside other financing. We've certainly seen plenty of litigation funders approach us to cover their whole portfolio of cases using our insurance products. And I think that there's still a long way to go. There's huge potential there. It's, as they say, an industry ripe for disruption, and the coming together of litigators and insurers to come up with the right product is really in its infancy.
Yeah, and I want to touch on maybe a trend that is forming now in the wake of the COVID pandemic. You know, we're starting to see that sort of mindset shift that a lot of funders have been talking about for years now, that it's really starting to come to the forefront in terms of how GCs and large corporations are even just thinking about their role as, you know, are they a revenue generator versus a cost center? How can they extract more value out of their litigation assets? This is something that the funding community has been pushing for a long time now. What have you been noticing when it comes to how GCs and CFOs are considering litigation finance, when they're thinking about it? What do you see happening out there, and what do you think are the trends that are forming here?
Great question. And even in my short time as in-house counsel, this was something that I was thinking about. So it sings to me. GCs are sitting in their boardrooms, and they are acting as cost centers. They take their seat, and the first thing they're asked is, okay, how much is legal spend going to be this month? And there are numerous companies out there committed to spending a certain amount each month on their litigation. It's just money going out the door, and it's hard for those GCs to find a way to show their value other than reducing the amount of legal spend each month for the same result. Well, now you can use litigation finance to generate revenue instead of being that that drain on the company's cash. You can, in fact, you can be a profit center. You use your litigation assets to make money for the company instead of costing them money. You have funders willing to do the due diligence in an independent manner. I mean, we don't get paid for picking bad cases. And GCs have in their hands then a very powerful independent check on their cases. And that can help in all kinds of ways. It can help in settlement discussions, but it can also help in bolstering advocacy internally. It can help when you need stakeholders to get on board with pursuing a case. It can really show a GC to be innovative, which is a constant battle in a company where, to be honest, the law is probably only a small part of what goes on in that company. So making that small part particularly relevant and bringing in money is really very welcome for most GCs. I'd say, following on from that, if the GCs do see the light regarding the use of litigation finance, then their CFOs may too. And likewise, law firms are increasingly accepting the need to have some sort of managing committee as well as their fee earning partners. And those committees interact in relationship level discussions and billing queries and generally try to promote innovative ideas for their clients. So they really need to be acquainted with the most efficient profitable, advantageous means of bringing litigation cases or monetizing cases to increase their revenue streams. Last year, Kirkland & Ellis, for example, announced a pronounced shift in its business strategy. They announced that they plan to increase the amount of revenue generated by a contingency fees in litigation. And Kroll & Moring has also announced a spike in profits recently due to contingency fees. So we've noticed a shift, and there are certain believers and non-believers, but we're certainly trying to spread that message and explain how this is just a much better idea, and if there's any concerns, then we'll address those concerns.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a no-brainer. Of course, you know, sometimes just old habits are hard to break, and these things can just take a while when you're talking about a mindset shift, but it seems like the ice has cracked here. And you know, I think, like they say, with a pandemic, it doesn't create new trends, it just accelerates the ones that are already in formation. So I think this probably was on the way, and now, you know, like everything else, COVID has accelerated this trend forward and really pushed it to the forefront.
Yeah, certainly we would say that this year has sparked a greater use of litigation funding, and we have a fairly bespoke view. I mean, it's kind of like standing at 30,000 feet at the market. You're not the litigator engaged on one case. You're looking at numerous cases every day, and you can very easily spot trends. So we've certainly seen a marked interest in users of litigation finance and in using DBAs. We've definitely noticed the CFO-driven change, whereby the CFO of a client wants the law firm to share the risk using a DBA. And increasingly, the law firm CFO is also keen to have a slice of the returns instead of giving those to some rapacious funder with an interest only in using law firms as a claims farm for its own profit. So it's definitely, the pandemic's been a catalyst, definitely.
Picking up on that, I'll ask you my final question, which is, just broadly speaking, what predictions do you have in terms of the maturation of litigation finance market, apart from what we just spoke about with GCs and CFOs? Can you give us any other predictions? What can we expect this year and maybe even down the road, future years?
Absolutely. Love a bit of crystal ball gazing. So certainly I'm going to say increased use of funding. And as part of that, there may well be consolidation of existing funders. There may be funders standing behind funders. I mean, we're already seeing that. There might be an increased use of different financial products to back funding, and I, you know, touched on insurance, but there could be other entrants to the market. A secondary market of products available to funders to manage their own risk, and possibly a secondary market available to investors to package these litigation assets, standardize the documentation, buy and sell pieces of risk. Okay, that's maybe some way off, but I'd like to think it's a possibility. And certainly in a nascent industry, you've got to start somewhere. And I think increased use of DBAs, standardized documentation, that at least helps open the marketplace to those other institutions who might be keen to create a secondary market. I've joked with colleagues before, I've worked in derivatives in the past, and is the litigation finance industry ready for derivatives? Could we have some sort of packaged asset here that's going to be bought and sold without anyone even understanding litigation, what those assets mean? I think that we've learned lessons in the past about that. But there are certainly structures out there who are keeping a close eye on and would hope that it can develop some kind of secondary market.
Yeah, I mean, secondary market is something we've talked about for actually some years now. Here at Litigation Finance Journal, it's always been sort of, some funders have cracked that nut here and there, but it hasn't really gone mainstream. Be very interesting to see. I think there's definitely a lot of possibility there. Louise, we really appreciate you coming on here and sharing your thoughts with us about the litigation finance market broadly and explaining more about your company, Legis, and what you guys are up to. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And if you're interested to learn more about Louise and about Legis, you can visit them at their website, www.legisfinance.com. There's a lot of content there on the site, articles to read, a lot of information there. So you can check out everything that Legis is up to and learn more about their processes and their approach to litigation finance. Thank you all for joining today. Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this one. We'll see you on the next Litigation Finance podcast.